The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Spurs fan show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and Ricky Sachs, and of course the returning Lee McQueen of Last Word on Spurs, and John Wenham of the Lily White Rose. Lads, lovely to have you all here. You've come back into the studio, but a man has made an exit from Tottenham. Kieran Trippier, you sad to see him go?
I thought for a second, Johnny, you were going to say Jason McGovern there, who's obviously
been
suspended due to his comments about Danny Rose last week.
Well, due to his comments about not liking transfer rumours, really, Ricky.
It's not really the summer for him, is it, if he doesn't
not
like
really.
Transfers? No, I mean, Trippier, listen, what I will say about Kieran is I wish him all the very best. I mean, I think it's well documented. He didn't have a great season, one before last. And, you know, to be fair, he's done himself very well to get a move to Atletico Madrid under Diego Simeone, a top coach. And, you know, what I will say, he was been dependable, he was reliable in his time at Tottenham. Yes, it frustrated me that he didn't really get over the halfway line during his time at the club, but I can't question his commitment and effort, and I just wish him all the very best.
I think what's interesting, hello listeners, dulcet tones of Lee McQueen, we are back, baby. So hi everybody, evening, good evening everyone. I think with Kieran Trippier, for me, it's an interesting one, because he was the understudy for one of my favourite players, and you listeners will know that I never wanted Kyle Walker to leave, obviously, and I said that to you before, we're going to have this problem, didn't I, a couple of seasons ago. And anyway, so he was an understudy for him. He's come in the team. We actually bought him from Burnley, and that the season we purchased him from Burnley, he had the best assist record, just like the best two fullbacks that are currently in the Premier League, which is the two lovely people in Liverpool, of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson. And Trippier was kicking out figures like that, like assists, 12, 13 assists or whatever it was, which is why we ended up purchasing him. He had a fantastic World Cup. I think everybody forgets how good. Do you remember how good he was? He's scoring free kicks. I think he thought he made it. Right, in that semi-final. All right, let me rephrase. I think in his head, he couldn't get that form back this season because of that was his high. Do you know what I mean? That was his high. But defensively, has he ever been all that? And I put a post on Twitter, some stats and whatever, and a couple of people come back and said, it's brilliant that all of the defending stats are nothing to do with defending. And it's like, it's true, actually. What do we actually want in a right back? Jason will always talk about Wan-Bissaka and how good he is defensively, first and foremost. But I don't think Kieran Trippier ever was. So look, like Ricky, I wish him well. But onwards and upwards.
Yeah, on Trippier, I mean, he was purchased as a backup, in effect. We had Kyle Walker at the club, and Trippier came in for $3.5 million. I mean, he was never seen as the starting right back for Tottenham. Fortune favoured his way when Walker moved on. We've had, 114 appearances from Kieran, and we've now sold him for $20-25 million, depending on who you believe. Do I think we need to upgrade the right back position this summer? Yes. Do I think Trippier had a poor season last year? Yes. So we'll be looking to strengthen our team moving forward in that position.
Well, that's interesting. I'm sorry, Johnny. Go on, go for it. I was going to say, that's interesting, John. I've got to get all this off my chest, Johnny. Do you know what I mean? I've been away for 6 weeks. It's interesting, John, you talk about that, because I've been doing a bit of research here on fullbacks and right backs and left backs and, you know, all of that type of stuff. And actually, if you look at the kind of, what could we call these, Rick? The elite fullbacks, or like, you know, for the elite clubs, shall we say? You know, and I know Marcelo. So you said Marcelo. Kimmich, I think he's very, very good. Jordi Alba, Philip Luiz. And correct me if I'm wrong here, lads, didn't Philip Luiz play for Chelsea once? And then he went to Atletico. He's currently playing for Atletico Madrid as a left back. I'm pretty certain.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, exactly. So now Kieran Trippier is going to be on the opposite side. But again, you know, stats wise, David Alaba. Okay, so my pronunciation's not good. The point being is, right, these are the types of right backs that you're going to be looking to replace a Kieran Trippier with. And all of them top class right backs or left backs or full backs in a sense are taken already. You've got some other ones I've been doing my research on. You've got Hi Saj. I'm sure you know these names, he's in Napoli.
I think he's listed out on my tweets. He's taken them all. I mean, I think you're right, Leo. I think the fullbacks are being linked with El Cid Hi Saj of Napoli, Alessandro Florenzi of Roma. Again, what concerns me is bringing over a fullback from abroad. It is going to take them time to adapt. And we have seen Serge Aurier. I think it's taken maybe longer than what we thought with Serge.
He is, but but you talk about, you know, the fullback whisperer and all that, Pochettino. The reason why I've done, I look into that, because when we go on Twitter, right, we look at all these names and all these people throw these names out. We've been linked with, and we've been, Rick, you're really good at doing that, by the way. But we've been linked with this, we've been linked with that. But I was looking at it as, I'm not worried if we're linked with them. I'm just having a look and going, is there anyone out there that could be a better option for us and that we could actually buy, regardless if we've been linked with them or not? And I come out of a couple. Hitchin loves league, does he not? He always gets his players
from
there.
True.
He does. So there's a couple in the French league. I don't think we'd be going to purchase Thomas Meunier.
Meunier.
My pronunciations. So everyone's cracking up at this. I'm loving it. Meunier. And he plays for PSG, so I don't think we're going to get him.
Heavily linked with Arsenal, him.
Is he?
Mm. That should be too much of a concern, shouldn't it?
Why wouldn't go Arsenal if he wants to play, like, you know what I mean, top-class football in a top-class stadium with world-class facilities?
In Champions League football.
Yeah, exactly. And Sidibe. Is it Sidibe?
Sidibe.
Johnny, talk to me. So, yeah, I mean, there's some good options there. But the one I really like, the one that's a bit left field out there that I've never, ever seen Rick tweet about in transfers. So, breaking news here. We're linking this player. We're doing it right now on the show. What about Denzel Dumfries?
Yeah, of PSV.
He plays for PSV.
Quite heavily linked with United, which obviously won't happen because they've gone for Wan-Bissaka.
But he's a big guy. He's good going forward. He's got a bit of pace on him. I think he's got some good attributes. What do you think, John?
Do you remember the last fullback we signed from the Dutch league?
Was it Lee Jong-pyo?
No. Oh. One after. A Brazilian.
Not Gilberto.
It was Gilberto.
Good Lord.
PSV Eindhoven. I'm still having nightmares.
He was, he's been erased from my memory, I think, to be fair.
Do you think that Pochettino has sold Trips with a view to signing a fullback? Depends. Or is he going, Aurier can do it and KWP can deputise?
I mean, it depends who you believe, Johnny. I mean, reports suggest out there that he's not back approaches from Palace and Leipzig for Walker Peters, and he's prepared to go with Aurier and like I say, Juan Foyth as a potential right-back option. I just think that'd be such a massive risk to go to the start of a new Premier League season and not have recognised fullbacks. And I said it last week on the show, Tottenham's greatest season was when they had Kyle Walker and Danny Rose bombing down that flank, you know, two really, really good fullbacks with pace. And I think that is what intimidates teams. And I'd be encouraging Tottenham, if they can, to go out there and look to find a recognised right back to replace Kieran Trippier, one that has got pace, one that's going to scare defenders. I mean, I know Ryan Sessegnon's been linked, but he's more of the left-sided option. It does concern me, the fullback area. That what worries me is that we're going to end the window, maybe strengthening the attacking side of Spurs, but defensively, I don't know if we're going to be strong enough. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, I believe that we would have accepted offers for any of our three right-backs this summer had they been reasonable. So if Palace had come in with 15 million, say, for Walker Peters, he would have been sold. If anyone came in with 10 to 15 million for Aurier, he would have been sold. So I think Spurs are in a position where they've got three right-backs they trust equally and all of similar ability.
Three right-backs who they equally don't really trust.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little bit like that, isn't it? It's because it's kind of like, well, we don't really want to pick Trippier, but our other options are KWP and Aurier, so actually
who's going to be less of a liability on the day? Yeah, that's what it turns out to, Johnny, to be honest.
I do think though, just, you know, on the defensive side, Rick, you make a really good point actually on the defensive side, because, you know, I've said time and time again on this show and on the pod as well during the last season that we rotated not just our fullbacks but our entire defence and goalkeeper. I mean, I remember being on here in the first 4 weeks of the season, I think we played with three goalkeepers. not at the same time, but we probably could have done. But, you know, and that's probably unheard of, to use all three of your goalkeepers within a month of each other.
Can any of them play right back, Lee?
Well, that's what I'm thinking, but you make that point. You make that point, and it might be a good one because I think Juan Foyth might well be looking at a right back berth. And I think that, you know, don't forget, Pochettino's done this before. When Eric Dier was purchased from Sporting Lisbon, £4 million, he come over as a centre back, and all of a sudden there was reports that he's playing in training in a pre-season, whatever, or behind closed doors training, and he's playing as centre midfield. I'm thinking, what's going on? And then obviously, famously, on his debut, he scored the 91st minute winner or whatever against West Ham. And then he's a central midfield player. So I'm not saying that. Look, Jace, I know you're listening, right? So I do 100% back the manager. So that means I do want Foyth as a right back. But the point being is that I'm not sure that Juan Foyth is the answer for our right back problems. But if Poch thinks that, then I'm happy to go with it, John. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, on Foyth, what's really interesting is he's given up his honeymoon and his three-week restoration period after the Copa America to come on the pre-season tour with Spurs.
That is why he's delighted.
It's brave.
But it's big decisions. You've got to be brave in life. You've got to see the opportunity and you've got to grab it. And he's done exactly that.
You've got to risk getting headbutted by your wife for Tottenham Hotspur. That is quite something.
Yeah, I think that will hold him in good stead with Poch moving forward. And the fact that he started the last four games for Argentina as their right back, and he was, you know, in Argentina, they were saying they're impressed with him. He had pace, added a bit of, you know, guile to the defence. So I think he will, if he impresses pre-season, will be our starting right back.
I just keep thinking of the Bournemouth game where he's just like, he charges up the field and like, bang, gets a red card within about 10 seconds of being on the pitch. I think the right back situation is a big one, to be fair. I mean, all of us were calling for central midfield to be strengthened with the beast that's going to be Tungai coming into midfield. It's going to open up the attacking options because of that defence, but the defensive side of him. But actually, that right back, left back situation, we've got to get that sorted. The year that we had our record points total was a year that we had a solid back five or four, whichever way you want to put
which
it.
Which weren't really rotatedly as well. They were kind of, it was consistently the Premier League.
To be fair though, he has always rotated fullbacks. He has always rotated his fullbacks, but maybe not as much. And look, I think like you guys said in the show last week, you know, Danny Rose, he obviously trusted Danny Rose more than Ben Davies because he played him all in the big games, didn't he?
Yeah, Rose is definitely well trusted by the club. And Poch, I mean, he started the Champions League final. I know Davies has now been rewarded with a new five-year deal, but if you asked me who was our best fullback from the ones we've got, it would be Danny Rose, and I guess for 90% of Tottenham fans, they would say exactly the same thing.
We know, though, with Pochettino, he did come out a couple of months before the season was coming to an end and said, look, it's going to be a painful rebuilding job. There's going to be players go that we don't want to go. I think Danny Rose probably is one of those players that, for the majority of Spurs fans, excluding Jason and some out there as well, that, I mean, a lot of us will be sad to see Danny Rose go. But, I mean, I refer to maybe to Jamie's point, like you said, he is turning 30. He's over 30. He's got the 1 year left on his contract. Are you going to get a better opportunity then this summer to get any sell-on value on him? Probably not. But for me, it depends on who they bring in. If you're letting players go, you've got to find players that are of adequate quality or better than you've already got to take this Spurs team forward. As I said, this summer will determine whether Spurs want to be either a top four contender or if they genuinely see themselves to push on and challenge for the league.
They have on the right back front, just quickly, been slight links to Dani Alves, who is geriatric, but he's one of the greatest right backs of all time. Just for a year, to tide you over, waiting to see a new option emerge, would you have him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he would be a real stellar experience signing, a winner. Look at the signings we made before like this, Nuruddin Nabet, Edgar Davids. These are players that have come in, vast Champions League experience, rubbed off on the other players. Can you imagine Kyle Walker-Peters learning from Dani Alves every day?
For sure.
So you're talking about, top, you know, there's no one better you can learn from.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, 100%. And the thing is with that as well, we've always called for winners to be in the team and, you know, we've had this show and how they can get over the line. Well, there's no bigger winner in history, is there, than Dani Alves.
40
champions or trophies or whatever's on. So the reality is, like you say, to have an understudy of KWP, to be looking, learning and watching, I think that would be an unbelievable option. It's not a future one, like, you know, like Denzel Dumfries, he's 22 years old, so that would be a future, a Wan-Bissaka, them types of, but actually for one season, like you say, he could definitely do it.
And
sure,
I think many people would say about the wages, but the wages only would be for 12 months.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's what I think could make the deal attractive. You know, it's a player that I reckon would bring so much experience to that dressing room. As Lee said there about, you know, how to win the mentality. What that would do for the rest of the squad, I think, you know, you look at players and John ruled them off. I think even look at Van der Vaart, the experience that brought to the group, another one there that, you know, he's experiencing the big games, the way he loved playing against Arsenal and scoring against them. He isn't intimidated. Out of his age, he's still got pace in him. So I think he would be a decent signing for 12 months. It would allow Spurs to carry on scouting and making sure they get the right, you know, fullback 12 months down the line.
Or push on KWP, like John says. I think the other thing is just quickly before we go to break, is that we've got to look at how Pochettino is going to play. Like, is he going to play the same? Most of the time he's played a 4-2-3-1. Is he going to play that now? With Ndombele being in there, or Dumbele being in there, he might end up playing a 4-3-3, and therefore the fullback role becomes a different one as well. So it's difficult, and glad I'm not the manager. It's Pochettino's job.
Well, you should actually want to be the manager, because the thing that happens when you get that job is you get the backing of Jason McGovern, whatever happens.
Love Sport.
It's the Spurs fan show here on Love Sport Radio, and it is the pre-season tour time of year. Spurs are off on their holidays.
Buzzing.
Yeah, I mean, they say they're off on their holidays. Some aren't, some are. I mean, we've heard the news that Toby Alderweireld and Christian Eriksen did travel as part of the squad, which maybe some would have been surprised. I mean, I just think with both players at the moment, although they may want to leave the club, just the right moves haven't materialised yet. I mean, we know Toby's been heavily linked with Roma. That seems to have gone quiet so far this week, which means that'll probably get done whilst the podcast is on. So it'll probably move, will get confirmed. And Eriksen, again, the Real Madrid talk has seemed to have gone quiet. As we know, he's probably not Real Madrid's preferred option. They've got other targets. And I think, again, towards the end of the window, what does concern me, I know Jace, we spoke about with him off air last week, is that I don't want to be in a situation with Eriksen where the UK window shuts earlier than the Spanish window. So we could be in a situation where we assume we're keeping Eriksen, the window closes, and then Madrid come in with an offer, the player wants to go. How can we turn that down? That's why I'm hoping this Chelsea deal will get done.
It's actually quite a good point. You're making loads of good points tonight, Rick, as normal. On fire,
mate.
Why are you sounding surprised? No, it's really good. No,
don't take that, Rick.
Actually, it is a really good point, because ultimately, Daniel Levy will not allow Christian Eriksen to leave on a free. No chance in this planet. He's done it once and it hurt badly with you know who. We won't talk about him, but the reality is he won't let that happen again. So and it's the same with Toby Alderweireld. He ain't going to go on a free next year either, so he's got two choices. He signs a new contract, which I don't even think is on the table anymore, so I don't think Poch wants him in the side, or he leaves. And it's the same with Christian Eriksen. So we need to do something, like you say, before our window shuts, for sure, because otherwise we could be light.
Yeah, I think the club view it as two slightly separate situations, in that Alderweireld is slightly older. He's got this release clause of $25 million for about another 6 days from today. I think they would rather let him go for nothing than Eriksen. Eriksen, if he had a 5-4-year contract behind him, is a £100 million player on the open market.
Yeah, true.
Eriksen, if we don't get him renewed when this window shuts, we all know what's going to happen. We're going to hear January 1st, pre-contract agreement with Juventus or Bayern Munich, and he goes for nothing next summer. Disaster for the club. Eriksen is the one we need to resolve.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. He won't let that happen. So, you know, the chance of Eriksen... It's so weird, isn't it? It's just a bizarre...
Do you know what's crazy? You've got two players there that are such quality players. I mean, Eriksen on his day, as I keep saying, we haven't seen his day that often last season, but he's a top, top player. And Alderweireld, you won't get many better defenders in the Premier League. I'm staggered that only Roma have come in for him. And what I'm more staggered about is Roma are actually arguing about the release clause. I mean, I know Spurs are the chiefs at trying to negotiate a deal, but Toby Alderweireld is one of the best defenders, not just in the Premier League, but in the whole of European football. And if he didn't go, for me, you put him back in your squad first day, no problem at all. He's a top, top defender. You don't cut your nose off to spite your face. He's a wonderful, wonderful player. Mm. I'm just amazed that there's not been other interest out there. I know he's 30, but you're talking about a guy that he's so good for Spurs. Yeah, consistent.
He's been fantastic.
Isn't he, Lee? I mean, him and Vertonghen, both of them together, I mean, incredible. And Sanchez is learning off them.
On the Alderweireld situation, Spurs have reportedly been in a bit of a scrap with Arsenal for Saint-Étienne's young defender William Saliba. There were some people suggesting that Spurs could do a deal for Saliba that would see him loaned back for a year, let Alderweireld's contract run down, then Saliba comes in as soon as Toby goes. There's obviously questions about whether you can get the Frenchman, but would that be a good plan?
It would be, but I just think Spurs, the reason why that transfer hasn't really materialised is because they don't know what's going on with Alderweireld at the moment. And Saliba, whilst he may be a good defender, it's not attractive to have to maybe wait 12 months for him. And, I mean, I would like to think it's a no-brainer for the players. Like I say, I mean, we're going to bring on to Chapais as well, that if you're looking at Tottenham and Arsenal at the moment, there's only really one club you want to join.
I saw you scrapping with one of the lads of Arsenal Fan TV on Twitter. It was amazing. I agreed with you, by the
way. I think it's insane, though, to come out and say that Arsenal are bigger than Tottenham because they've beaten Spurs to see a season-long loan of Jabaya as a player that Spurs only really wanted on a permanent deal with an option to buy the player. Arsenal are glorifying that victory as
if we even wanted him.
If we even wanted him, to be fair.
Like, do you know what I mean?
And you've got to ask the player if he needs a head check, if he's going to pick Arsenal over Tottenham right now.
Yeah. On Saliba, we don't know if Tottenham ever actually wanted him. It could be St Etienne have made a phone call to someone at Tottenham, say, put in a bid. That means Arsenal have now to match the offer Spurs made. They're under pressure. Their small budget is diminishing on a player they don't even have for another 12 months.
Do you think there's an element of Levy on the wind-up where he's seen Arsenal sniffing around a player and he's just gone, you know what, I'll match it.
That's what I like to think, Johnny. I'm hoping Levy's sitting in his office and he's like, I'm just going to make a couple of calls here just to beat, you know, boost the price up so Arsenal have to pay more.
I do it with every player. Well, Arsenal have made a bid. Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's an interesting one with a centre-back situation, not just sort of Toby, however that pans out. But I actually don't think that we need to replace Toby. I don't think, you know, when you look at we spent £42.5 million on Davinson Sanchez 2 seasons ago, and the season, not last season, the season before, he was outstanding. No one thought that he was going to play that much because of Toby Alderweireld, but he was injured. So he came in and he was amazing with Yang Vertonghen. And us fans must remember how good they were together when Vertonghen and Sanchez played together. That is Toby's replacement. Davinson Sanchez is already Toby's replacement.
I agree with you, Lee. My only concern is if one of those two players get injured, Vertonghen, we know, is, I say, that age now where he can pick up the odd hamstring injury. And if one of those, I say, pick up an injury and you are deploying 4 foot right back, have we got necessary cover? I know Dyer can play there, but for me, I want to see recognised centre-backs. I know Davies can play there,
but look at Dyer. Sorry to interact with you there, but look at Dyer. So we just talked about Dyer. 4 million, Sporting Lisbon, comes in, central midfielder, but we signed him as a centre-back. World-class centre-backs and pundits, if you like, that I respect. I don't know, like Rio Ferdinand, for example, think that he is going to be a world-class centre-back. Pochettino, who was a world-class centre-back, thinks that he's going to be a world-class centre-back. The reality of the situation is, where does he play in central midfield? Now we've just smashed our transfer record on the beast that is. So actually, is he not better to play as a centre-back?
What do you mean, John? Would you risk it? I mean, it's a big thing to decide not to bring in a centre-back, I think.
Yeah, I personally would risk it. I'm a huge Davinson Sanchez fan. I have been since we signed him. As you said, we've got one Foyth. Dyer needs to... I think he's going to be a very versatile member of the team next season. You're going to see him playing some games in midfield when we need it, some games at the back. So I think we do have just about enough cover there to get through. If Sanchez plays all the time, he'll build up confidence as he did in his first season. Last year, he was in and out of the 11, and that couldn't have, you know, helped him in settling in the side.
Sanchez is going to be a star. I've got no doubt about it. I've got to make that point clear. Davinson Sanchez will go on to be a wonderful player.
He's gone through the Ajax Academy as well, don't forget.
Yeah, I mean, to have also the guidance of Alderweireld and Vertonghen, I've got no doubt he's going to be a star. And I just think, you know, the more games he plays with those guys, we're going to be in safe hands with him.
I think that's absolutely right. What's your take on this transfer situation? Get in touch. You can call 0208 7020 558 or you can WhatsApp that same number. Of course, we've been talking Roma in the sense of Toby Alderweireld, but there's also an angle of a current Roma player because Nicola Zaniolo is someone who Spurs are apparently interested in. Is there any potential there for a kind of swap deal?
I don't know much about this fella, to be honest. He sounds like my wife. My wife's called Nicola, so it's a bit weird. But yeah, I mean, I mean, it's another midfielder. You know, is he attacking midfielder?
So
another attacking midfielder. So what are we planning? We've got Lo Celso, we got Moura, we've got Lamella, we've got Son, we've got Gareth Bale to fry in the mix. I mean, how many attacking midfielders do we want? We've got Eriksen who's going to sign a new contract. So I'm not sure. I think for me, that's just... I don't know. What do you think? I think that's just hearsay.
It does seem to be gaining momentum. And the player, again, according to reports, that's what I ever say is according to reports, but he seems to be warming to a move to Spurs. I mean, there might be a deal to be done there if Roma are insistent they're not going to pay the money for the release clause. I think Spurs are well within their right to demand a player in return. John, I'm not sure what you think.
Yeah, Zaniolo on the open market is roughly valued around £40 million because of his age. He scored a couple of goals in the Champions League.
Isn't he?
Yeah. He scored a couple of goals in the Champions League last year. Would he swap for Alderweireld, who's worth 25 maximum because of this contract situation? I don't think Roma would go for that, personally. All I know on Zaniolo is he's quite aesthetically pleasing. If you look at him,
very
he's
very good-looking boy.
Good-looking boy.
Is he? Nicola
Berti,
like
part two. Yeah, so I personally don't see that one happening.
I think also there's an element with Zaniolo where he's a Twitter player, not even a YouTube player.
Mm. What's that, Johnny? What's a Twitter player?
So a Twitter player is where you score a couple of brilliant goals that fit very, very nicely into a 10-second clip that we all retweet. He scored a couple of dirty goals last year where he skins four defenders, puts the keeper on his arse and dinks him. Looks great. He is young. The experience isn't there. He's possibly not the man quite yet. We've been talking about the other end of the pitch as well. Adrian has called in from Edmonton. Adrian, you want to talk about the CB situation. Have you got enough central defenders?
Well, I wonder if what the guys think. When we've played teams that park the bus at home, at Wembley or Bernou Lane, Poch has adopted to the dreaded five at the back because the other teams pose less threat. And I was just wondering if he would play the Tongan, Sanchez and Dyer or a Foyth there. And don't laugh, if we get Sessegnon in on the left as a wing-back. Now, this is the bit. I think he could do a job there. I think Sissoko could do a job at wing-back.
Do you know what? Adrian, it's Liam, mate. Nice to talk to you. I know it's a bit left-field what you've just said, but I actually thought that today myself. And it wouldn't surprise me if, because we've got all of a sudden these brilliant central midfielders, you know, Winks, 22 years old, Ndombele, 22 years old, 21 years old. Skip, well, I'll park him for a second, but then you've got Wanyama.
Ali, still Ali, you'd have there, wouldn't
Ali,
you?
Ali there, whatever. Yeah. Across the thing, where are you going to play Sissoko?
Like Son and Kane or Kane and Mora. But,
interesting.
I mean, as each new player comes in, there's more permutations and options for Poch and changes in formation. I mean, that's without Lo Celso coming in as well, you know, so...
Yeah, where are you going to fit them all in type thing? Sissoko as a right wing-back. Adrian called it first on the show. Let's see what happens, Poch.
I think it's a really interesting idea, Adrian, but don't you get into a problem if you start moving your players around? Because, OK, you might fix the situation at right-back, but then you're losing one of your best central midfield players, aren't you?
Yeah, we can never tell with injuries, though, what's going to crop up at what time. The number of games, the number of competitions we're in. So there can be any period of time when Sissoko suddenly plays 10 games and then he's out for 5 games. So we need players that are versatile. And I do believe, with the caller's point, that he could fill in a right wing back. I think he'd be pretty decent. He's got pace, power, size.
Well, mate, he's done it at Man United for long enough.
Mm. Yeah. Ashley Young.
Yeah.
Adrian, you're a master.
I failed miserably at Wembley when Song was asked to do it in the League Cup final.
I think they're giving you a corner here. I think, Adrian, well, there's things to this corner now. You've kind of got your own corner in the show, Adrian's Corner. Because I was having regularly a corner in. Keep it coming.
Well,
we love hearing from you.
The show. I mean, I like listening to the other clubs are on as well. You know, what's going on at them, Love of London clubs.
There you go.
Keep the eye on the enemy, you know what I mean?
Adrian, top man. Thank you, Adrian, for your call, cheers, as Adrian. Ever. And with a serious piece of tactical analysis, the message is clear. Back the Adrian.
This is Love Sport.
Gents, who have you gone for?
Well, it's interesting this one, isn't it, this week? Because we were talking off air a little bit about, oh, who should we go for and so on and so forth. But Ricky made a good point that we've already been talking about good-looking midfielders, so we've gone for another good-looking midfielder.
Xavi Ginola.
I was about to say, very nice of you to pick me as your legendary boy.
And here he is, Chummy. What a player. I think it was his anniversary this week, wasn't it, of signing for the club.
Yeah.
And again, we're talking about, you know, players of stature coming to the club. That was another amazing sign-in. I mean, I actually had a sketch of David Ginola on my front room. Not even bedroom, right? It was on the front room wall. Like, in the front room. I absolutely adored the guy.
Like a sort of shrine, Lee.
Like a shrine. It was like a shrine to David. David. Amazing, amazing player.
Yeah, what's great about David is, well, he completely carried us at that period. We were surrounded by dross. No offence, Stephen Clements. But that was the level we were at. Everything was out to Ginola all the time. Ball, ball, ball. And he would just have to deliver. And he did. He got the PFA Player of the Year.
I was just about to say.
Whilst we finished 14th.
Yeah.
We finished 14th. He got PFA Player of the Year. And Man United won the treble that year. It was in 99. And he got... And so no Man United got PFA Player of the Year. But David did. I mean, incredible. Yeah. And I always remember, obviously, the Barnsley goal.
Yeah.
Remember the Barnsley goal. Talking about dirty earlier. Dirty goals. I mean, that was dirty. And then the other thing I always remember is when... I can't remember it was. Somebody come out and said he was too fat.
Yeah, and then he took his shirt off, gave it the arms.
And he'd give it the old arms. He had the six-pack going on. He's like, go on, David.
Yeah.
He was an absolute genius with the football.
He got
ousted, didn't he? I think, you know, from memory, from the France squad, because it was a back pass or something. Do you remember that? That was it in the qualification or something like that? He put a back pass through and ultimately it led to a goal and him going out. So, yeah, he was absolute perfect. A brilliant, brilliant.
perfect Tottenham player.
What would he be worth in this market today?
Oh,
great question.
80, 90 million? Yeah. I do believe that. What a player. I mean, the guy, for me, he was my favourite player as growing up. Such flair. I mean, when you went to the lane back then, he would make your hairs on the back of your neck stand up. You know, you get off your seat. I mean, the lane would be so good back then. Like I say, that was a Tottenham team, like John, you mentioned there about some of the players we had. 14th in the Premier League, but yet you'd still go and pay the admission fee just for him. He was just such a great player, and it devastated me when he left. Graham wanted him out, didn't he? George Graham, he didn't fancy him.
He was a perfect Tottenham player, what I mean. He was literally that. It's exactly what we love. Somebody to get you on the edge of the seat, and, you know, just... expectation in the lane was there. When he had the ball at his feet, something was going to happen. It was genius.
Never knew what he could do. Well, you never knew what he was going to do. That's the great thing about him. The unpredictability of a player like that. I mean, yeah. It's a shame we couldn't find another one like that in his current market.
Well, a superb player. And that's why he's your legend of the week.
Love Sport.
Go for it.
And Spurs are a club with a rich history of bringing homegrown talent through as well. You've been doing that recently, but a couple of them could be set to leave the club.
Yeah, there's two in particular that coming through the youth system. I've watched a lot of these players from a very young age moving through the age groups, and Josh Onimer and Marcus Edwards, I understand, have both been told they're free to leave the club.
Edwards to Brentford, possibly?
That's correct. He's been training with them for the last 2 weeks, actually. They've got a crop of young English players at Brentford at the moment. They've taken from Chelsea, a couple from Arsenal, who will have known Edwards from the England youth age groups. Marcus is a tremendous player. I can't. Anyone who hasn't seen him, I can't describe to you how good he is.
Hasn't it worked, John? Why do you think this hasn't worked at Tottenham? Because the ability seems to be there. So what is the reason why we haven't seen him push on in a Tottenham shirt?
I don't want to comment on anything that we see in the media that I don't know about. So things such as you hear about his attitude or whatever else. I mean, he does walk around a bit sort of quiet to it and keeps himself to himself. And you see that if you ever see him play. But when he's on a football pitch, he is just a magician. And for whatever reason, it hasn't worked. I've got to trust Poch with this. Poch, you know, he's proved time and time again, brought through Winks, Kane, Mason, Bentaleb. You know, I do trust Poch with this. If he thinks it's too much hassle, I go with Poch.
It's so hard because whenever you see these clips of him, he just looks like such a phenomenal player. And if you back anyone to get the best out of someone, Lee, you always think Poch would do it.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that, look, like John just said before and Jason said, and you know, it is a game of opinions and we're that, and that's why we're here. Like, we're talking about all different things in the fan show. But Poch sees him all the time, every day, day in, day out. They know what's going on. They know where their head's at. They know if they can get any more out of him. All of them sorts of things. You know, I think with the youth players, Pochettino is bang in attitude. He doesn't really recruit on skill per se. They actually do recruit, especially through the academy, on attitude and behaviour. And you know, I'm a massive believer in that. You know, we can teach you, we can coach you to be better technically and all that sort of stuff. But what we can't teach you, to want or have that desire. You've got to have that from within. Mm. You know, regardless of what you do, whether or not you're a footballer or cricketer, or you know, you go to work, or you know, you work in a factory or a business person. Well, doesn't matter what it is, you've got to have that hunger and desire to want to do something, and that can't be taught. That comes from within. So that's the key thing. We don't see that stuff. So that's maybe the reason why. But Poch does, right?
There's one thing I do worry about. I sort of feel like some of the promotions from younger players into the first team is purely based on behaviour. Mm. So it's like the good behaviour club. John McDermott says, oh, he's well behaved, and suddenly you're in the team. Yeah. I mean, George Marsh, no offence, you cannot compare him and Edwards. They're two totally different prospects in terms of ability.
But you need the behaviour, right? It shouldn't be just about the behaviour, but if the attitude really isn't there, you're not going to make it. I mean, Edwards returned from his loan at Norwich in April. He only played 6 minutes since that January loan. Norwich said he was late to every single training session, was late to team meetings. You can be as good as you like, but if you're not taking it seriously, you don't deserve to be taken seriously.
If the club were going to do something for Edwards, for himself and for his family and for everyone else concerned, they should have suggested that Marcus went and lived with another senior player, somebody very sensible, somebody like a Harry Kane. I know it's a big responsibility, but live your life like that person.
Yep.
Watch what they do day to day, what they eat, what time they go to sleep, you know, how they conduct themselves. That would have been a real great learning curve for Marcus, because the ability is there.
Do you think he's good enough to be worth that effort?
I think
they
put a lot of effort in over the last 3 or 4 years. They rewarded him with a 3-year contract 2 years ago. The faith was there then. There was talk he could have gone off to Manchester City for a huge sum of money for him and his family. And he didn't. Poch showed some faith, played him in the pre-season games against Juventus, Atletico Madrid. Since then, he's not developed. That could be that he's got too much too soon, which is a common theme with youth players.
I agree with that.
Unfortunately, it's the way it's gone. But I mean, it's going to hurt me when Marcus does go, because I've invested a lot of time in thinking that he is going to be unbelievable for Tottenham. And if I see him go off and do it somewhere else, it's going to kill
break
me.
Your heart.
Yeah, well, it is.
I mean, he'd go two ways, won't he? He'll either go to another club and he'd be absolutely amazing, or he'd just do a John Bostock or something like that. And I know he's got, you talked about
he's
him last week.
He's reinvigorated his career,
reinvigorated his career. But Sir Alex was a master at it. Absolute master at nipping it in the bud, saying, get out, this is team first.
But even
attitude being white,
you can't solve it, even if you're Fergie. I mean, look at Ravel Morrison, who's just signed a 1-year deal for Sheffield United. He's supposedly the most talented player of the last 20 years.
Look at Pogba the first time round. He let him go. Yeah, and look at all of the stuff that's been written or whatever, whether or not we believe it or not, about Pogba this time around. You know, yeah, he's a world class talent, but if you ain't got the right attitude, it doesn't matter. You can't get it out. You can't do it.
With Edwards, what about selling him to a Brentford, but with a buyback clause?
Yeah, I don't think Marcus will have any intention of wanting to come back to Tottenham. If we let him go and we've, you know, put him through what I hear we've put him through and the way he's been treated by some people at the club, I think he'll have no... Yeah, we can put it in there, but he won't come back.
How has he supposedly been treated?
Well, I just feel like sometimes he's been made out as a bad character.
If he's always late for training...
So we hear,
but I mean, if you're at Norwich, would you lie about it? If he's got all that ability, why is he not getting more chances?
Yeah, I mean, it was a disappointing time at Norwich. No one's hiding from those facts. But when he was in Holland, he did very, very well. His dribble rates were up there with people like David Neres, you know, the top players in that league. So there is obviously real, real ability there. I hope that something gets resolved and he can end up staying at Tottenham for a little bit longer, maybe another loan and another new contract for maybe 2 years. And see where we go from there.
Would you reckon, John, on Josh Onuma? Because again, a player that we have invested a lot of time in. He's been out on loan. He was again predicted to be maybe, you know, in Tottenham, this player was going to come into the first team, light it up. It hasn't really happened for him. Do you feel like his time's now run out? Essentially, we hear he's up for sale, and as you said, he's been excited to go this summer. Why is it just not really materialised for him at Tottenham?
Yeah, sad for Josh. I mean, he's had a load of injuries coming through the 16, 17, 18. He was unbelievable, Josh. He carried games. He bossed games. He started for us in Dortmund in the Europa League, if you remember, and in a big game to play in as an 18-year-old, 17-year-old he might have been at the time. He obviously had the loans at Sheffield Wednesday, Aston Villa, and it just hasn't kicked on. It's unfortunate what's happened with Josh. A mixture, I think, of bad injuries and maybe bad management and maybe bad loans. Josh is still a good player, and I expect he'll have a solid Championship career, but that's where he is now. I don't see him making it at the top level, unfortunately.
100% agree. Completely agree with every word you just said. I think Josh Onuma has showed his level. You know, when he had that season-long loan at Villa, that was his level.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been linked, as we know, to the likes of Sessegnon. We seem to indicate that transfer is close because the player has got his heart set on Spurs. He wants to work under Pochettino. It just seems to be the case that at the moment the clubs are in negotiation about that fee because Fulham are still demanding a ridiculously high figure for now what is a Championship player. You would expect Levy to get that deal done. We know how keen Spurs are going to get.
I think it's done in the background. Yeah. I think there's a lot of stuff that's kind of done. I just think we're waiting for Rose to go.
Yeah. Mm. On Cessegnon, I heard he visited Poch's actual house last summer. And I don't know what happened. Maybe a fee couldn't be agreed or whatever. And he wanted to do a year at Fulham. I think that deal will eventually go through. I read that Fulham are looking for some players in return. That could be ideal for us. If we could finally find someone to take Enkudu
and Janssen.
I mean, these are players we cannot shift. Both could go.
Go for it.
And they'd both probably be quite good in the Championship.
I think
that is their level. They need to realise that.
Yeah, Janssen would probably be good in League Two, to be fair.
Well, come on.
The guy's got concrete boots
on. It does
on.
Worry you, the fact that we have had these players up for sale the last God knows how many years, we can't shift them. But also, do you not think, John, to an element of that, is the pricing of Spurs for those players probably a little bit, you know, high? I mean, it's Daniel Levy. We know Daniel, what he's like. He's going to try and get the most out of any price. We saw Trippier go for 21.7 million. None of us, I don't think, could ever see that kind of fee coming.
Yeah, Levy has got a problem with this, and with Janssen, we need to just bite our tongue. He's got 12 months left on his deal. We did recover 5 million of the fee when he went to Fenerbahce on loan. So now you're looking at, what do we pay, 18, 19 million for him? So we've got 15 million. If we could take 5 to 10 million, I think that's a fair figure for Janssen. And Kudu, I mean, we've been trying to sell him since the day after we got him through the door. He's been an absolute disaster, possibly our worst signing ever, in my opinion, for 11
brilliant,
million.
Brilliant
I don't know,
assist,
the one
though,
you mentioned earlier about Gilberto, I mean, he's up there.
yeah, that's true. He was, you know, a couple of million. But 11 million, what have we seen from Enkudu? Nothing.
Yeah, no, well, an got an amazing disaster. Assist against Fulham to win that game 2-1 when Winksy stuck in the back of the net. But look, yeah, and no, I agree. I think that's the problem. When the players aren't good enough, where are you going to put them? And the reality of the situation is, if they don't want to go to a club, it's all very well Maguire sitting there going, oh, we'll give you a swap deal with Fulham, or you can go and play for, you know, Portsmouth or whatever in League One. But if they don't want to go, they just sit on their contract, right? You know, Bale's doing that in Madrid. Admittedly, it's 600 grand a week, so why wouldn't you sit there? But, you know, it's so complex to be able to... You can't just go... get him out. Although John makes a good point about the kind of, you know, the take a 5 million and just get him out in that way. I think that's good. And I think Jay said last week as well about Nkudu, just pay his contract. It's like 2 million, just get rid.
Yeah.
I mean, on Nkudu, do you remember when he went on loan to Burnley? They then signed Aaron Lennon on a free transfer at the age of 35, and he was starting in front of Nkudu.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I reckon that's an attitude thing as well, to be honest.
Yeah,
it probably is. But yeah, so that's, yeah. I mean,
I know there's been rife rumours this week. We've got to squeeze it in about Gareth Bale. I think when that rumour first broke from Mark up, I was so excited. I tell you, I still would take Bale back. You know, a lot of people out there know they're skeptical because of his injury record. But for me, Bale is a proven winner. If he came back to Spurs, he would be adored by the supporters. Literally. I mean, Lee's already smiling.
Oh, no. I mean, I need to let John go first on this quick comment.
Lee's about to pass out.
Yeah, I
got 15 minutes left there.
For a couple more minutes on Bale. You got any thoughts on him, John?
Yeah, I mean, on Bale, I mean, him coming back would be a euphoria for the supporters, for the club as a whole, and for our sort of general club standing in world football. You're talking about bringing back an absolute Tottenham legend.
Statement signing, isn't it, John?
Statement signing massively. Can you imagine the excitement?
Do you think
everybody...
he'd win the league?
Yeah. I'm putting it out there. I have to put it out because I said that 2 seasons ago. Gareth Bale was a game changer. I might be blind and I don't care. There's loads of people tweeting me today going, oh, have some positivity back, Lee, because I'm back on the mic. So here it is. I think we would win the league. I genuinely do. With Gareth Bale signing, with Tanguy that we've already got in and all the stuff that we've been talking about, if we sign Gareth Bale, he is utterly world-class. 4 Champions Leagues or 3 Champions Leagues he's won since he's moved.
And the league's obviously in
he's
Spain as well.
He's won the league as well. He's got cups under his belt. Genuine. And he's... I know he's kind of one of Southampton's own, really, but he's one of our own. Yeah. He's an utter legend for us. And we talked earlier about David Ginola, and the next one for me, when you look at the Van der Vaarts and whatever, Gareth Bale was in that mould.
In that final season, Lee, he won games single-handedly. Yeah. How can you,
unreal.
You know... I get that he's got that injury record there that is a concern, but I just don't understand.
More games than Kane did last season. It's a myth.
I find it baffling when some supporters say they wouldn't want him back. I mean, why would you not want back a guy that performed so well in a Spurs shirt? Yes, as I keep saying, the injury record's there, but he'd be coming back to a club that would be adoring him. You know, he would walk, I think, in the first team. And what it does do, I mean, like Lee said, we could win the league. I think what that does for Tottenham is it takes us from being just a top four contender to genuinely challenging. I'm not saying we would definitely win the league, but I do think it puts a different bracket for Tottenham.
When we were talking earlier about fullbacks and stuff like that, and we ran through loads of names that were kind of these elite clubs, and it's very difficult to get them elite clubs. I know we've got to go to a break. That is the elite type of person or signing that you need to get you over. That would be the sort of thing that a Barcelona or Real Madrid, funnily enough, because they did, may sign so that they can get him a Champions League. And it did. And it worked. And that's what it'd do for us.
Gareth Bale, of course, loved by Spurs fans. Less popular in Madrid with both the supporters and the manager. Zinedine Zidane is, of course, adored. He's a club legend. But if we look at their stats for the club...
Oh, what you got for us, Johnny? What you got?
Funny one. Well, Zinedine Zidane, 227 games... 49 goals, 66 assists, 6 titles. Gareth Bale, similar amount of games, 231, 102 goals, 65 assists and 13 titles. Different kinds of players, obviously. Different era, obviously. But perhaps he deserves a bit more respect than he gets.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Spurs fan show here on Love Sport Radio, and all the guys in the studio with me tonight, that's Ricky Sachs, Lee McQueen and of course John Wenham, love Tottenham, and we're hearing that a certain Mr. Vertonghen does too.
Yeah, I mean, Jan's comments that we've seen coming out on the Thursday saying that, you know, he loves being here, he feels great with the manager, he's been supporting me and making me a better player, I've got everything I want, and to be fair, I think that's a mutual with Vertonghen. I mean, he's been a wonderful player for the club. He really, truly has been. Probably one of the best defenders, certainly in my time watching Spurs. I think his consistency, it's just incredible. There hasn't been too many off days. I know he had the one against Arsenal last season, but you've got to discount that. Apart from that, he's been a wonderful player for the club, and I would be fully backing giving him a new contract. I think with Vertonghen, he's one of those players that, despite not having the greatest amount of pace, he reads the game so well, and it just shows you that, you know, being a centre back, you don't need to have pace. If you can read the game the way he does, he could go on and play still for, I think, more years. John, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm going for at least another 3-4 years with Jan.
Really?
I just think he's fantastic on the ball, reading the game. And look, if you put him in next to Sanchez has got the pace to cover for that.
Yep.
So he can do the reading and the marshalling, and Sanchez has got the pace.
Mm.
I really hope Jan does renew. I think he will. To be honest with you, the indications are good coming out of the club. So I think we'll see Jan stay with us for a couple more years yet and get a testimonial.
And he's also the best left back that we've got.
Yeah, fact.
Fact. Like a left wing back. I mean, you know, that game against Dortmund, he was absolutely amazing. Outstanding. I agree with all of that. I think the only thing that's in the back of my mind is with Poch going for this kind of more youth thing and you know, the age of Vertonghen. And I'm not saying anything. I think he's absolute Rolls Royce, mate. I love the guy. But his best mate went to China in January. And actually, if they don't give him a new contract, maybe they've got a thing in the background to kind of go, you can go to China. Because that he's going to earn more money in China in a year than he would if he stayed at Spurs for another 2-3 years. So do you know what I mean? I don't know. But...
Yeah, his little crew that he was really tight with also is Michel Vorm, Dutch speaking, like Belgium guys, and obviously Alderweireld looking like going, Dembele.
Eriksen.
He's seen that group, Eriksen, really diminish.
Mm.
He might be thinking, look, 12 months time I can go to Ajax on a free.
Mm.
He's still loved over there. That might unfortunately be what happens, and we can't begrudge him that at the end of the day. He's been fantastic for us.
No, I mean, I don't think he owes us anything more than what he's given us. I think he's been a wonderful player. I mean, another guy that is potentially on a free at the moment, I know we're potentially going to be looking to negotiate new terms with him, is Fernando Llorente. If you asked me this probably halfway through last season, I mean, I wouldn't be too downhearted if he did go. But then, to be fair, the pivotal run he played in that Champions League build-up, where he literally got us there pretty much to the final, I just think now, with the options out there, I don't know who I would see come in that could fill us better for a further 12 months from who we've been linked with. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what you think, Lee.
John talked earlier passionately about like the youth, and I know this is, you know, out there, but you know, and he maybe he's not ready yet, but he's been held back and going on the Asia tour. Troy Parrott, for me. The reason why I say that as well is because he's banging goals at that level, right? And he's one of our own, he's homegrown, he ticks every box that you want to tick. Yeah, he's not ready yet, or he might not be ready yet, but nor was Wayne Rooney. But Wayne Rooney started when he was 16 years old, and remember the name, Wayne Rooney. I'll never forget that clip.
Mm.
And he was absolutely outstanding. So I don't want to put a load of pressure on Troy, but what I'm saying is that we've always struggled to get that second striker scenario in, because who wants to come and sit on a bench under Kane? Well, Troy would. Because he's one of our own, and he would sit on a bench and he would say, I'm going to take my chance. And I think that maybe that's an option for us. But look, Llorente, you know, Jason and I backed him.
You did last season.
All season we backed
him. Despite the lamppost comments and despite it being called Titanic and not moving quick enough.
For sure. Jason and I backed him the whole way. So, you know, fair play to him. And but I do think that it is probably time to move on from Nando.
Yeah, as Rick said, I mean, up until, I think it was after that Fulham game, I never wanted to see him in a Spurs shirt again. It was like Gregor's Razziak part two. but he really, really,
what
really,
a name from the past,
a great
really, really redeemed himself. And he was fantastic in the Champions League run. I mean, he made De Ligt look normal. All this talk about generational defender was put out the window in 45 minutes. He still moved to Juve today for 70 million.
Yeah.
So I would get Llorente back as possibly his third choice on less money. We can't pay him 100 grand again. That's just not on. 50 grand if he doesn't get something else. He can come in. What I'm worried about is that he's not doing any pre-season at the moment. Someone at his age needs to be keeping fit. And when under Poch's tough pre-season, imagine if we signed him at the end of the window, he's missed the full Poch pre-season, and then he's not even fit until December. That's an issue we have. On Troy Parrott, fantastic player. I've seen him score some great goals at youth level, and I really think he's going to come on to be a top player.
Mm. I know we spoke about it at length last week, but just to squeeze it in, Danny Rose, obviously there's been a lot of rumours that he's highly now linked with a transfer over to PSG. Are we concerned that if Danny stays at the club, he's not had a pre-season? Is that a worry?
Yeah, definitely. I think any player that's not been under that strict Pochettino guidance will, you know, struggle to get into the 11, for one. And two, when they do get in there, they may have poor performances and the fans then turn on their back, which would be unfair. You need the Poch pre-season.
Lee, Danny Rose is your chance.
Just on the Danny Rose thing. Look, I do like Danny Rose, and you know, a lot's been said from last week. All I would say is, I think you've just raised another brilliant point about that whole pre-season piece, because we haven't got Sessegnon in. We haven't got a genuine left-back change other than Ben Davies, so that's fine, and he's there. But I also do think he's been signed up on a five-year contract because he is also versatile as well. I think I called him on the WhatsApp group, Jamie might have nicked it last week, he's the James Milner of Tottenham. You know, do you know what I mean? Yeah, he is, isn't he? He's like a versatile player. He's, you know, gentle Ben, I think you
call
him. Don't
get over the halfway line.
Yeah. But again, you look at his, no, I know, because you look at his stats between Rose and him in terms of the games, like Johnny just did with Zidane and Bale. They're very similar, so you know he does do that. So I don't know. I think that with Danny Rose, it's time to go. From Danny Rose is what I'm saying.
Where would he go?
Who cares? Was it Jay says just pay him up? Pay, instead of paying Toby whatever he wants, let's pay their contracts off whatever and get him out of the club.
Well, I'll tell you what Jace really says. What Jace says is back the manager.
Oh,
and if Poch wants Rose to go, he'll go. If he wants him to stay, he'll stay. And I have to say that whether he does stay or go, it's looking like a sensational season for Tottenham Hotspur. We'll be here on Thursday night every step of the way, so you'll have to join us through the whole thing to see how the likes of Tongi and Ndombele bed. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.